It's your nickel, Ken.
All right. Well, welcome to the Economic Development Committee meeting. Once every 5 years or so, this committee gathers. No. New reason to gather because of our first agenda. But Debbie, if you would call the roll, if that's not what you
typically start. Sure. Sinek?
Here.
Grindel?
Here.
Kapusta?
Here.
Well, welcome, one and all. First item on the agenda is the introduction of our new Economic Development Director, Jessica Kaiser. Mayor, would you like perhaps to introduce Jessica? You've got to know her better perhaps than your process that some of us have, but up to speed and the process that brought Jessica here and welcome, and make her feel welcome as well.
Well, as many of you know, Jessica is a resident. She lives on Dalebrook, and she was raised here, and she's the one that reminded me that she paid for, because of her summer employment, she was able to pay for a portion of her college education due to public. That's why we're trying to employ some of these younger people back this year, because we know how important it is for their future. And so, but Jessica, actually, interviewed Jessica in 2012, was it, Jessica?
We've talked over the years.
Yes, yeah. And trying to, understanding her relationship and how well she did for the city of Green, but always trying to let her know that if the opportunity presented itself, that dynamics in her world, everything would be such that the stars lined up, we'd love to have her, and they did. They lined up earlier this year, and we're just so excited about the different dynamics, experience that she brings to the table. And if Jessica, you want to take a minute and further elaborate on a little bit of your history, and so they'll have a better flavor of everything we've been bragging about.
Sure. So it's a bit of a homecoming, as the mayor mentioned. I am an Independence resident. I graduated from Independence High School, and thanks to the pool, my gig as a lifeguard. It did pay for a good chunk of my undergrad, so I'm really appreciative of that. I went to Ohio University for my undergraduate degree, which is in political science. I have a minor in history and economics. After I finished undergrad, I went to work what was then known as the Greater Cleveland Growth Association. I did a lot of economic development research and marketing research for them. During my tenure, I did change names to the Greater Cleveland Partnership. So it was fun to kind of see that transition in terms of aligning the organizations and developing kind of the footprint for economic development for the region. While I was still at GCP, I got my master's degree from Cleveland State from the Levin College of Urban Affairs. I have a master's of public administration concentrating in urban economic development. After I left GCP, I went to work for a national nonprofit that focused on economic development financing. Their goal was to educate economic development professionals about tools to use for financing economic development deals, TIFs, bonds, revolving loan funds. While I was there, I was instrumental in putting together a book about tax increment financing. So that was kind of fun and learning a tool that I hadn't used as a practitioner. But after I left there, I spent the last 11 and a half years with the City of Green, putting a lot of that knowledge to work. I managed over 40 TIFs. We did things like the municipal grant program that you guys do here. I expanded and created a CRA while I was there. One of the unique things that we did do in Green was create what they call a community entertainment district, which was a tool to leverage liquor permits in an area that was deficient in the number of liquor permits to allow restaurants to develop. We did some marketing as well. While I was there, did a lot of work with our commercial real estate firms to help them market their properties, as well as make sure that the state was aware of those. One of the other unique things that I did in Green was we created a retention tool that we called a Leadership Green. This initiative kind of was modeled after, if anyone's familiar with the Leadership Cleveland program, but on a micro level. The idea is to get executives in your companies to become more engaged in the community. Once they're more engaged, they're more likely, those employees, to stay and help those companies grow. So that's kind of a little bit of my background. If anyone has questions, let me know. I kind of tried giving you the abbreviated version of my 20-plus year career.
CRE, for those that don't know, stands for?
Community Reinvestment Area. And so that tool is one of the things that is in the Independence Economic Development Strategy Plan. And it does allow companies who do qualify to have an abatement on their property taxes. So it's a tool that's talked about in that Economic Development Strategy Plan.
Very good.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.
You can tell by, Mr. Chairman, you can tell by the brief little discussion here, she's very well versed in a number of different policy as well as different components that we can use to drive our economic development strategy forward. And it's just exciting because every time we start a conversation, it bubbles over to so many different areas that it's just going to be an exciting journey having her on board to help us refocus some of our this economic development strategy, developing it, and as well as successfully implementing it. So it's exciting. It's an exciting opportunity with her on board.
It's very exciting for me too.
Jessica, what do you see as the priorities? What have you? You've been on staff now all of 3 weeks, but are you already? You roll up your sleeves and dig into things, or is it a process of just information gathering at this stage? How do you see your...
I think we're in a really unique time right now. I think COVID is kind of changing the economic development landscape because you don't have the opportunity to go out and meet with companies as you typically would. But that being said, there are some things that I've looked at that for me are priorities. There's a gap that I'm seeing with the information that's available on our website that we want to address. There's some economic development marketing that we'd like to do. I did mention the CRA being something that's in the Economic Development Strategic Plan that hasn't been addressed. That's something that I would like to address yet this year. The first thing that was given to me when I started was we have a whole bunch of grants that they need their annual reports done and to process those. So here in the city, I've discovered there's about 25 grants agreements that we've entered into with companies. As part of that, those companies are supposed to send us an annual report based to report back out their annual payroll so that we can calculate those grants. So my first order of business is to wrap that up. We still have some companies, I think it's partly due to COVID, that are a bit on the slow side to respond. So that's kind of a quick shot of some of the things that I have on my agenda going forward. Obviously with COVID and the change in landscape, I think that we're concerned about what companies might determine that it's their office space isn't as necessary. So one of the things that I've identified is we'd like to go out and meet with companies that we anticipate their leases either coming up anywhere between now and the end of December 2021 so that we can have a good touch point with those folks.
Very good. And, as we're getting started here, this committee has been somewhat dormant perhaps, but Jessica, in your experience, how does a person in your role interact with the Economic Development Committee as well as City Council? What can we do to help you in this process, get settled, drive progress? What should we as a committee be working on together, I guess is what I'm asking.
It's kind of interesting because in my former life, we didn't really have an economic development committee. It was more of being supportive of legislation. So one of the things that you guys will see in the next council meeting is that we've been working on a project with Garland Industries. They're a company that's looking to relocate some of their executives to office space on Rockside Road. So we'll be asking council to be supportive of that grant agreement that will allow this project to move forward. So for me, it's just being kind of more of that helpful voice, supporting these types of initiatives so that we can grow the base of the community. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, if I can interject, I know with our previous economic development with Jeremy, we usually had executive sessions where we discussed a lot of this information ahead of time, so council would get a heads up. He would run things by us to see if he had a consensus from council. So a lot of the economic development is done in executive session, so it's not down in the public, and we're able to share ideas. You're able to share ideas with us too. So I think that's reason the past number of years, a lot of the work of this committee and of council all took place behind closed doors because of the sensitivity of the information involved. But so you probably had the same experience with the Green. You probably had some executive sessions with council there and with delicate information. But I do know that knowing our fellow councilmen, we're very supportive, and anything you would bring to us in an executive session, that would be, we would definitely be willing to listen and share ideas with you. And then this way, you know you have the support of council behind you.
I appreciate that.
Anybody have any questions?
Through the chair, if I could ask a question.
Go ahead, Bert.
Thank you. Jess, maybe you could explain one observation that you've had so far in your first 3 weeks and what you might be proposing to council. And I bring this up now because you're talking about the agreement with this one company. And not that the way economic development was done in the past is wrong. Every economic development team has their own comfort zone, and I think Jess has identified something with these agreements to tighten up is the right word, but about having these companies commit to this payroll beyond just the term of the agreement. If we could talk about that for a few minutes, because I think that the mayor concurred that was a very very good tool that maybe we should be looking at as a tweak to our either attraction or retention grants.
So one of the things that we did in Green is we had a similar program. So I think it's a good program. I like the fact that there isn't set boundaries to the program, because it allows you to be more creative with companies as they do come in. But one of the things we did in Green is, say you sign a 10-year lease, that would be the entire period of the grant plus a monitoring period. So if you signed a 10-year lease, we'd be willing as a city to offer you a 5-year grant and then require a 5-year monitoring period afterwards, which would ensure that the jobs that were created in the first 5 years would still remain in that second 5-year period of time. And we found this very, very beneficial, because there was one of our large employers that we had entered into a grant agreement with that decided to leave the city in year 6. So that would be their first year of the monitoring period. And we were able to claw back the entire grants that we had offered them over those first 5 years. And so the grant agreement that you will see me proposing for Garland is of that same kind of structure.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a marked difference from our past grant programs. And hopefully either that explanation or additional explanation will get council comfortable with that. But that's how we see it. The administration sees that as an added layer of protection for the city, that not only did the jobs have to stay within the city during the grant period, but for that period after too. So it really makes sure that the grant is a win-win for both entities, but surely for the city as well. And if it doesn't become that way, that we have the ability to claw back the money that was expended during that initial period.
Mr. Trakas, you have a question?
Thank you, Councilperson Jessica. Welcome aboard. A couple quick questions for you. Sure. I spoke with John Kozeski, who says good things about you from Green Chamber of Commerce. And I don't know if he's... he's a friend. Have you had an opportunity to sit down with the Valley Chamber of Commerce and perhaps engage them? It's appeared over the years we haven't always had a chamber, but they haven't seemed to be too engaged in our economic development strategy. I was just wondering if you've had a chance to talk to them and if there's a higher role for them than what we currently employ.
I have not had a talk, have not had a chance to talk to them, but they are on my radar of people to reach out to. You know, as you know, you mentioned John Kozeski, he was the president of the Green Area Chamber. So I had a good relationship with the Green Chamber, and I think that's something important to still maintain here. I've been working with some of our more regional partners to kind of go more the top down, if you would say, kind of approach those big players. So our folks at Team Neo, at the Greater Cleveland Partnership, to make sure that I have those steps in place first before reaching down to the local chamber, but they are on my radar.
Yeah, and then that was my another question I was going to ask you about. Obviously, Jobs Ohio is the key to a lot here. We work pretty closely with Jobs Ohio. Did you have a relationship through Team NEO, and what's your view on how Jobs Ohio has been approaching suburbs like Independence, and how do we get higher on their radar screens?
So that's interesting. So let's kind of take a step back and kind of explain the economic development fabric here. So Jobs Ohio is the private nonprofit that does economic development for the state of Ohio. They have split the state up into six regions. The region that we report to is the Team NEO region. They kind of work seamlessly together. And then from that fabric, it kind of breaks down a little bit further to the local partner being the Greater Cleveland Partnership. So I've had a great relationship with Team NEO. Over the years, they've done a lot of projects with us in Green, so I know those players and can bring them along as necessary. And they are a conduit then still to the state. They work one is the same. The folks at GCP, it's kind of ironic, when I was there, some of these people are still at GCP. They've left and come back, so it's a little bit again of a different kind of homecoming in that regard. But I do have those relationships established. The way the framework works now, the system I think works. You have to be a player in the system, and you know, there's always the question of whether or not a community gets enough love. We kind of felt in Summit County that Team NEO and Jobs Ohio kind of only looked at projects north of the Turnpike. I just think it's slant. It just depends on what kind of projects you're bringing and whether or not it fits into the wheelhouse. But I will try to make the case for projects that we're working on here in the City of Independence that they're important, and that they deserve Team NEO's attention and Jobs Ohio's resources.
Yeah, I would suggest also, if you have a chance, to just call Monica Blaisdell, who's the governor's representative in the area, and you might know Monica, and
I think
she'd be particularly helpful to us. And every once in a while, Mayor Tagliati worked very closely with all these groups as well, and got a chance to engage the Lieutenant Governor's office on a few projects for Independence, and just would encourage you to have a strong relationship with Monica as well.
Yes, I'm familiar I know Monica well, so thank you.
And I would have one brief input, Jessica, and I know this is lower on your priority scale because you have so much on your plate right now, but at some point in time, I always encourage the support of our economic development related to our downtown businesses. You know, they're like the small potatoes, they're the ma and pa shops, some of them, but they're also the heart of our town, and they're the heart of a portion of our town that we want to continue to see grow, develop, and so we'll want everything possible to help sustain them and to add to them.
Absolutely. That's actually one of the things that came across my desk today is some of the stuff that we're doing in terms of social media outreach, and it's it does have some of our businesses in the downtown area. So I'm aware of their needs.
Thank you.
And their importance.
It's nice to see the early positive press for the bike shop.
Yeah.
Kathleen, I know you're aware of that.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you again, Jessica, and we look forward to working with you. Welcome. If there's ever anything we can do to assist you or provide resources or in any way, you know, help make what you do better, please reach out to this committee or anyone of our members, and so I'll keep working together for the greater good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think there's a lot of good stuff that we're going to be doing, and I'm really excited about it.
Appreciate it. So next on our agenda is update on the Northwest Quadrant, an area that's near and dear to my heart. As I look out my window, the Northwest Quadrant is
beautiful. It's booming.
Right now, but I just wonder if there's anything happening there, Mayor. Is it going to stay a tree-lined property for a while, or are we going to...
It's booming. Actually, I did meet with the representatives from the Northwest Quadrant and the IRG group before pre-COVID, and we became acclimated toward each other and shared some of the different thoughts. Obviously, the last 3 months have been we were revving up and starting to plot our course forward, and then all of a sudden COVID decided to drop a bad egg, and here we are. So we've had some more recent conversation of trying to get back into some type of program. They can outline some of the benchmarks that are established in the agreement that was approved in September of 19, and we're hoping that we'll begin to create more dialogue and to see what's on the horizon in terms of that entire quadrant, not just the IRG component of it, because I believe we have to take a holistic approach to these areas and not just one single user, developer, or owner, but to try to incorporate as much of the our resource into one agreement. Not necessarily a development agreement, at least one strategy, economic development strategy, so that no one's left behind and everyone has a chance to participate. So that's the overall motivation, is to make sure that all of the stakeholders, that the landowners in this case, are part of this. And if we just have to focus in on the RIG agreement, the IRG agreement, then so be it. But at least we have a plan, a comprehensive plan that's incorporates all the property. So Jessica's will be working on that in terms of, without losing sight of the fact that we have this existing agreement in place for a portion of that property.
Very good. Is that the expiration date of that agreement coming up anytime soon? Is it months?
There's it's a 1 year, I believe, and then it had a March 1st, 2020 inspection period, and then it goes into the ability to extend for 360 days from March 20th, 2020, and then there's two additional periods, 120-day periods, so there's some benchmarks involved, but nothing that's going to slow the process down of them developing once they share with us their vision.
Hello. Hey.
Very good.
Yeah, economic.
So let me just reiterate a second. Just we did our previous meeting before COVID. They were outlining several different dynamics that were helping mold their strategy. I would think it's fair to say that they've been put in the same situation as most developers, where everybody has taken hit the pause button. But I anticipate a recent conversation that there will be more interaction, and it's perfect timing now that Jessica's on board, because we'll be able to help facilitate those discussions with some level of integration. Those will be advanced to council as we have those, so that we can have these built-in benchmarks and making sure that we're hitting the mark in terms of what the expectation was for council, and then some of these new concepts that are being explored as we go down the road.
That time, Mayor, we'll get some update on Saucy Brew.
I actually have a call with Brent Zimmerman this week, so we'll see what's going on with them.
Thank you.
The only, Mr. Chairman, if I could just answer questions like that, it's the only permit that they requested, which was, again, intermingled with COVID was the clearing permit. They needed to get that done before a certain time period to avoid some of the environmental challenges by not. So they went in there and clear cut a lot of the foliage trees in that area.
Thank you.
I had a couple of things. What about the, we were at Topgolf last week. I talked to one of the managers there, and supposedly now, whether he had any knowledge or not, that their timetable was for Saucy Brews is to open up next, I guess, summer of 2021 now. Whether he had any inside knowledge or whatever, or just hearsay, but it appears that they're still going through with their plans to build their headquarters and also their production facility there. But I had a question about the Northwest Quadrant. Dallas still owns quite a sizable piece of land there too, and are we going to include them, if you're taking a holistic approach, to include them in any plans for that Northwest Quadrant?
Yeah, in some of our discussions with the the IRG group, shared with them that we really don't want to just fragment off this property. We prefer to have a holistic approach, or picture at least, so that when we approve these incremental approvals, at least we've incorporated an overall strategy, because there is a significant amount of infrastructure that needs to be incorporated into this project, the Northwest Quadrant. And so, and it's a moving target in terms of some of these potential ancillary support infrastructure, such as an exit ramp into the quadrant that would relieve some of the congestion at the crossroads of I-480 and I-77 when you're coming south on 77. Traffic still backs up onto the interstate. So one of the things we're talking about is just an exit ramp into the Northwest Quadrant as one relief point for transportation or for traffic on from the interstate. So I think this holistic complete strategy at least gives the developers, the landowners, and as well as the community a more comprehensive approach to managing a situation long term.
Thank you.
And the brewery also makes me wonder about another project that's sort of been in the hopper with the is it Burgers to Beer or something like that? It was supposed to go in the Crown Center building. They've had a coming soon sign up there for quite some time. Are they still?
Yeah.
They're going to open up there, or is that they're backing off that post COVID?
You know, I have not had an update on that. I'm Jessica. I'm not sure if you've had any correspondence or communication with.
I've heard they're not moving forward.
They're not moving forward. Okay.
So there was financial problems.
I just think that you're going to see a number of these restaurants. I talked to people as late as today about some of the challenges for just the employees alone, trying to get people to come back to work at some of these face-to-face venues. So, yeah, I'm not sure of the true impact. I just know that some of the companies are having success, or at least managing the payroll, et cetera, with these takeouts. But I think there's a number of these restaurants that were on the horizon that potentially are going to hit the pause button for a while.
Mayor, speaking of that, if I may, Mr. Chairman, Verso and Spins Bowl, I know we transferred the liquor license from Verso to Spins Bowl. Bowling alleys have been allowed to be up and running for the past 3 weeks, but I don't see anything happening at Spins. Do we know anything about that situation?
Officially, no. I mean, I think it's hard to keep track of these venues that are just trying to get traction again, trying to get their sea legs, so to speak. So some are more just turn light switch on, and some are being very cautious, and some of them are having economic challenges that prevent them from just going full force back into their service or product delivery.
Yeah. Dale, are you wanting to have a floor?
Yeah, I was just curious, the corner of Rockside and 77, anything happening there?
Actually, I spoke with Dave Brenner pre-COVID again, and we were talking about the situation, and everything just went dark. This COVID situation has really just forced a lot of these developers and these businesses to hit the pause button. That's probably the best way I can frame it. Meanwhile, nothing's off the table, to my knowledge, but like just listening to some of these local businesses that we're going to fire back up, they're just, there's no cookie cutter measurable on any of these. I imagine, I get the feeling that as this thing starts to take shape, and if there's a, if society feels there's a some relief of the stress on everybody, that you're going to see a lot of new opportunities, economic opportunities, as well as you're going to see the challenges that Jessica alluded to earlier. You're going to see some of the challenges of trying to reacclimate. Businesses reacclimating themselves. We'll be, like she mentioned earlier, we're going to be watching these leases carefully. We're going to be talking to the business community, finding out how they are managing their space and how their efficiency and their ability to use technology. I know that we've had several concerns or issues with the County Board of Health stopping in on businesses, and they have a two-pronged approach. I think they should have a three-pronged approach. One should be the first time they come in, if there's a concern or a complaint filed, they should have a discussion with management, explain to them the complaint. The second level should be a written violation. And the third level should be a enforcement of the written violation. Right now they have a two-pronged approach. They come into your business and they'll give you a citation. And it says that we will be back in the future, and if we find that you haven't corrected this situation to meet the March 29th order, governor's order, that we will shut your business down. And there have been some very prominent businesses in our community that are kind of like offended by that process, because anybody, any one of their, you know, several hundred, 300-400 employees can call and say, hey, they're not wearing a mask or they're not doing something, and they go out and they inspect. They give them this citation. And I just think that some of the reports I've had that from businesses that they should be given, of the first approach should be, hey, I'm here because we received a complaint. I'm just here as a courtesy. The next level should be that, hey, I'm here as a courtesy, and now you're having a violation. You're still in violation. Here's your citation that says I will be back. And then if I come back a third time, I'm going to shut you down. Well, these are in some cases very sophisticated businesses, so they feel that they're doing everything they can. We feel we're doing everything we can from a city standpoint, and yet I still get the calls and the people concerned about protocols. I mean, yesterday I received calls about in the park. We have all these kids playing baseball, and I talked to Chris and a few others about some of how we're managing things, and it's teams from out of town that are coming in to play against our teams. And so the new protocol is going to be, we are going to, during our public announcements, remind everybody that there are certain guidelines. So we're constantly evolving in this whole thing, but my point being is that the business community is very sensitive to this, and some of these more sophisticated organizations are very sensitive when an agency comes in and challenges them. And so it's just something that we're dealing with. It's a new dynamic out there.
It certainly is, Mayor. And my own observation from working in a multi-tenant office building on Rockside Road is that many of my neighbors here, we're in Freedom Square 2, just five floors of office space, tens of thousands of square feet of offices, and there's probably our company and about one other one that have been kind of regularly in the office again. Most our neighbors down the hall, they're not coming back until September. It's that fear and uncertainty of someone coming and knocking on the door and shutting it down that's causing, I think, employers to just say, you know what, we'll just wait it out. We'll just be very, very cautious and careful, because we don't want that interruption. So it's an awful lot of fear and uncertainty in the marketplace, and that's not good for, economies don't run well when there is an abundance of fear and uncertainty. So hopefully we as public officials, as a government, can do what we can to be welcoming and supportive of our business community and our community in general to, dampen that fear factor, not fan the flames of it.
Exactly, Mr. Chairman.
We're kind of touching in this economic development in the post-pandemic era. The next thing on our agenda with all of this discussion is how do we continue to do economic development in every economic circumstance, good times, bad times. There's always companies looking to move to improve their space. On the one hand, economic activity is less now than what it was in January, but our prime location, that uncertainty creates other entities. Maybe they have office space in downtown Cleveland or Akron, or Independence's location will continue to draw people. So how do we make sure that we're positioned, that we're ready for business, we're open, we're welcoming? What positive proactive steps, if any, do we need to do? Certainly Jessica, I think, is a huge, huge signal to that, but I think we need to continue to maintain that we're open for business sort of attitude here and promote ourselves, good times or not. Other thoughts?
You're spot on, Mr. Chairman, in terms of post-COVID is something we talk about internally, because it's we have to be very nimble and quick to adjust because of the impact and the concentration of jobs that support our budget and our ability to provide services. On a bright note, we were just announced yesterday that the engineers, we received approval that our Rockside and I-77 interchange upgrade. We've chosen GPD to do the work, and the state's, I think it's like a $3 million funding support. We're going to be talking about that more at the, we'll have legislation. Hopefully we get information back from ODOT and we're able to put legislation together this week or as quick as we can. We'd love to have it on the July agenda. Just to keep that ball in the air. I think that's traffic management is going to be a critical factor going forward. And if we can get some of these projects on board, even though they may not come to fruition or begin construction until 2021 or in the future, it's important we plant these seeds. So that's a bright spot. We just heard that one last night, and I had a conversation with the engineering department this morning, and we'll be putting legislation together for that.
Ken?
Yes, Mr. Verica.
A comment with kind of a question for Jessica. When you talk, Ken, about your own particular building and the number of different employers that employ different amounts of space, who you would think would have leases coming up at different times. Jessica, in any way, would it be appropriate for us to have a handle on when certain leases might be appearing, or is that something that's pretty much kept on the QT with those businesses?
That's something that isn't publicly available. So a tool that we can use to kind of help understand and maybe manage some of that information is information that's available through CoStar. So the city does have a CoStar subscription, and we will be using that as a tool to help kind of uncover some of that information. They may know when the leases are up, and then there's kind of a general rule of thumb that you can look at. If a lease was signed 3 years ago, that typically it would be coming due in the short term.
Right. Well, and my purpose for that question is whether or not we could potentially play any role in being helpful with those owners, those building managers.
I don't think, in terms of the Economic Development Growth Committee.
Yes.
I think that's something that the administration staff will handle with the help of some of our regional partners. but should we need your help, I will be more than happy to pick up a phone call and reach out.
So your relationship with the broker community, and then as you get to know the owners, the questions that you ask, Councilperson Vivirka, I think will flush out over time, that Jess will get a pretty good handle on what the lease situation is down on Rockside, and who's coming, who's going, who's here for the long term. And it's those relationships that I think will flush that information out, and CoStar could be a good supplement, but she'll get that information firsthand from those relationships. They'll be pulling aside, hey, Jess, this company's, their lease is expiring at the end of 2022. They're starting to look now. How can we partner to try to get them to stay? Conversations like that.
And that was something that was very helpful when I worked in the city of Green, is that I had a really strong relationship with the broker community. And that's something I want to build here and expand on what Jeremy had built. So one of the things I think I mentioned earlier is that we don't have a lot of what our commercial property inventory is made available on our website. And so our website is the first point when somebody's looking for information about the City of Independence. Our website is the first place they go. Site locators use that as a tool. And so we want to make sure that not only site locators, but the folks at Team NEO and Jobs Ohio are aware of what properties are here in the City of Independence and which ones of those do have availability. So that's one of the things that is a top priority for me, is making sure that information is available and on our website and on Team NEO and Jobs Ohio sites as well.
Right. Well, that was one of my targets for the question was, based on Ken's comments and the fact that some businesses are going to be downsizing their space, they might be eliminating their space, some might be enlarging their space. So just the idea that we have the ability to be on top of that situation would be very useful in the
unknown
situation that we have.
Absolutely. You know, we don't know what the long-term impacts of COVID are going to be. You know, my gut tells me that once kids go back to school in the fall, we'll start to see people returning back to their office. And I think the chairman kind of alluded to that even in his office building. So, you know, we're kind of still in a weird time that nobody has the answers to, but we're going to be prepared for whatever happens, that we can be a player in the game.
Anyone else?
I do, please. I just was wondering, Mayor, if we have any update at our council. The last council meeting, we talked about extending the option to some of our restaurants regarding if they were interested in using some exterior space to extend. Have we done anything with that as of yet?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody has solicited or if we've gone and told anybody that we have some flexibility. So I guess I just don't have the answer to that question.
I would ask that that we do extend that option. I mean, as summer is going to be quickly going by, it's not going to do them obviously much good beyond the summer season into the early fall perhaps. And again, whether they'll take advantage of it or not, we don't know. But I just think it's a nice gesture on the city's part to do so. So I'd appreciate
it. We will facilitate that. Thank you for the reminder. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Caruso, that goes to one of those areas where the city can be a resource, an encourager, a support to a business that wants to expand that sort of service without, you know, them having fear of the building department coming down on them that they are, you know, doing something without a permit. I think we are generally in agreement here. We have a culture that wants to support business, not be an impediment to business. I'd love to dine outside, but the weather in Northeast Ohio is not very conducive to it. It's about 8 weeks between July 1st and September 30th, where it's not too hot, it's not raining, it's, you know, it's not too sunny, it's just the right weather conditions. And you know, my other observation here is that with the lower occupancy of the office buildings here on Rockside, the restaurants with the drive-thru are continuing to operate. They're not opening up their dining rooms because they figured out it's not the top line. They could generate more top line revenue perhaps by having the dining room open. The bottom line profit is doing just fine having a drive through only. And until there's so many people back in the office space on Rockside Road that the restaurants can't accommodate the customers, they're not going to open. They're in no hurry to really open up their dining space and really go full bore. It's a very cautious approach to everything around here. Just my personal observation, being in the office every day for the last 3 months.
No, Mr. Chairman, you're spot on in terms of the people I've talked to, the restaurant people. They're really accommodating some of their employees by letting them take advantage of that extra $600.
Yes, that too.
And so I think you're going to see a turning point unless Congress changes that at the end of July when that expires. Then we'll find out how things are going to pan out. I do know that up at Babe's, the tables have wrapped around going towards CVS, and so they've got a little more flexibility in their number of tables there. But you're right. I think that until July 31st, I know a couple of the major utilities I've kind of had conversation, and they were originally going to do end of June, and now they've pushed back until September 1st, or the beginning of September. So, again, this is a moving target.
Indeed.
And I was dining at Scratch, I think, right after we had our last meeting, and informed him that if he was interested in having any kind of outside, to talk to his landlord and also talk to our building department to see if there's be some accommodations. So he said he was going to look into it, but I'm not sure if he had or not. But
there's also the cost of, you know, that if it's temporary space, they need to invest into tables. It's good in thought, but sometimes the execution can be challenging.
Yeah. Mayor, you mentioned Babe's. Like, just my only observation, maybe there's others out there that have done it. Angie's Pizza, it looks like, over at Hillside in 21. I've seen some tables and chairs out there underneath the overhang. So at least a couple of them are attempting to do what they could do.
Yeah, there's no been through the billing department. There have been no formal requests. But you know what? We're not. If somebody goes and throws some tables out and chairs, as long as they're in a safe area and they're not adversely affecting any other business, a lot of these things we're very flexible with right now.
Well, on Sunday evening, the Methodist Church is going to have one of our community meals. It's called the Grill and Go. We're going to put some chairs well spaced out in the area in the front yard to see if anybody's interested in having a little social exchange to talk with each other. But otherwise, it's going to be pickup. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But we're trying to get back. Everybody's getting in a little bit more comfortable. And like I said, there are some situations that you scratch your head. But it's great to see people in the park. It's great to see people at the pool. Now the concern is, hey, everybody wants their own space at the pool. Everybody wants, the adults want their time. The kids want their time. And the and the families want their time. And so I give the staff, the recreation department staff, so much credit. They've done a wonderful job of opening in a very methodical way that is safe as we can do and still allow some flexibility. Because when you go there and you see those kids and you see the parents, just it's almost like you can see the burden being blew off their head. So I think that as we're nimble enough because we're a small community that we can do these things. And 90% of the people are content or happy or participating. There are some people that no matter what you ever say or do, you're never going to make them all happy. I mean, it's like I've scratched my head and I wonder, do they really know what we're experiencing here with the COVID? Maybe they've been in the house so long, they don't even know what's going on in the real world, because some of the comments we get are scratch your head moments, but they're so few far between. You kind of like, you understand you're never going to make them all happy. But for the most part, the team has been really working hard and we're blessed.
Well, hats off to you, Mayor, and the team for all that you've done to manage the situation. I'm sure you took office in January, you 23rd year as mayor, said, oh, this will be easy, no problem.
Scratch, you see me what I'm doing, don't you?
It's like, wow.
Wow. You know, a lot of head scratching lately.
Yes.
But really, it's all the team, it's all the employees that we keep adding great people to this team that'll transcend administrations and really create some continuity and also a great opportunity for every generation to reach their maximum capacity. So we're blessed. We're really blessed in that respect.
And Mayor, if I might add, while you're speaking about teams, although this wasn't related to COVID, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the service department in Ken and my neighborhood, which had a very interesting Thursday evening, and then they came by Friday and just picked up branches and took things and helped with trees. It was amazing. It was just amazing to see. Please express our appreciation to them.
Absolutely. The tangential of that, there are some little bright spots during this whole thing because we went to a two-shift service department during COVID. We've got a second shift that starts at 12:30, now runs till about 9:30. And that being there that night when that storm hit, I drove on 77 and it looked like, I really thought a landscape tractor dumped off his tree limbs and stuff on the interstate as I was going through these paths of debris. And then when I got off at 20 Rockside, I said, you know, I'm gonna just drive around the neighborhood and see. And I started seeing trees and branches and it was like, whoa. Then I realized a mini twister came through that little section of town from Pleasant Valley to Rockside. And it was, that wasn't debris from a road, somebody losing on the road. It was debris from the neighborhoods across the interstate. So yeah, and they were able to be there, be ready, and stay late to finish up cleaning. And then the next day we clean up. I think give these departments so much credit because people don't realize the level of service, and they complain occasionally about that we forgot this or we didn't do this on time or we don't have this right. But the vast majority of people really appreciate the level of service that we participate in this city.
And that was unusual. That storm was unusual. It came from the east too. We have very rare do we have a storm come from the east. This came from the southeast, I think, southeast and east.
Right.
It really hit us and Brexville hard. I was going to ask Mayor, how's the attendance been at the Civic Center as far as using the equipment and the ways? Has it been very light or has it been moderate?
I measure it this way. I haven't received any complaints. So, very rarely do I get a complaint, let me put it that way. There's always time for pool, time for this, so you know, everybody needs to adjust, but for the most part, the vast majority of people are very cognizant and they're courteous. They follow the protocols we put in place, the hygiene, the sanitation, just everything's been, they respect what the team is doing, and I think it's great. It shows a lot of what the community's made of. They're willing to, they want to be involved, they want to get their laps in, they want to use the activities, but they're respectful of the protocols we put in place.
All right, as the hour is approaching.
Can I just add one thing real quick? Sure. Thanks, Chairman. It's not related to our city's economic development, but it is a good economic thing for our city. You may have all seen the article in the paper on Sunday about House Bill 164, Section 19, and the restored money to the districts throughout the state. And you can see that Independence was going to be getting back $209,029 of the $318,843 that was taken away. And also from the CARES Act, they're going to get an additional $69,087. So it isn't full, but it's certainly way a lot better than we had anticipated. And I talked with one of the board members who indicated that some of this money should be arriving as early as the end of this week. So
that's great news.
Yes, kudos to our own state rep, Matt Dolan, who had a big hand in securing that restoration of funds for our region.
Sure. So I think, Mr. Chairman, if I may just wrap this up, I mean, we're excited with Jessica on board. We think that we've got another great leader for that area. And And I think that as we get more acclimated, the business community starts to get back into the groove, I'm excited because of the opportunities on the horizon, in my opinion.
Me too.
With that, I thank you and the committee and members of council, and I guess we'll reconvene in an executive session. Now, Debbie, do we have to get off and go back on, or
yes,
or
yes, you have another invitation. Yes,
everybody has their has the information to go back on an executive session, but council meeting.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How about if we motion to adjourn the Economic Development Committee first?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
We have a motion to go into executive session to discuss.
Oh, we've got to go to another meeting.
Okay.